Hey, welcome to the Desert Dog Cafe. Welcome to the Desert Dog Cafe. I am Lon. I'm your cage-free, all-natural host in the captain's chair once again, and I thank you for joining me. We are progressing. We are gaining episodes, and I hope that each one is just a little bit better as we had to rebuild the whole show from a Terra radio station to a podcast. So a little different here, different buttons, different light switches, things like that, but I think it's coming along. I hope you agree. You can always contact us through either Anchor FM, anchor.fm, that is, we've got a messaging service there, or send an email to leaddogonair@gmail.com, and that'll get to us as well. It'll get through a couple of filters, but I will eventually read it. Stay with us. Today we are going to be talking about things that make you say, what? As we do every week, a little weird trivia. This week's episode is going to contain a whole bunch of rubber bands, and it's going to be used for a weird purpose. That's coming up later on. Things that make you say, what? Also, in just a moment or two, your spotlight on health is next. It is self-care this week. Self-care is critical for you, for me, and for all of those around us. So we'll be talking about self-care today on your spotlight on health. And later on in the show, the star of the show, if you will, In My Words, where I read some of my original works. Last week was Love in the Old West, Love Among the Mesquite. This week, an original tale of forbidden love in the Middle Ages, royalty and not royalty. We've got that story in the headlines as we speak. Well, it happened way back then. That's going to start a three-part series of that story because it's just a little long. So that's coming up later on in the episode, In My Words. That happens every week, right here at the Desert Dog Cafe. That is your Spotlight on Health, this episode of the Desert Dog Cafe. That comes to you every single episode, so make sure you stay tuned for a little uplifting, a little, rejuvenation, renewing your Spotlight on Health, every episode of the Desert Dog Cafe. Coming up next, In My Words, I read my original stories, I read them aloud, I wrote them myself. Last week, we went to the desert, Love Among the Mesquite. This week, we head to the Middle Ages, where we have a story of royalty and non-royalty in love. Sounds like I wrote it from the headlines, doesn't it? That's coming up in just a moment on In My Words, right here at the Desert Dog Cafe. Thanks for joining me. I'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Desert Dog Cafe, and welcome to In My Words, an original piece of mine, works that I wrote a couple of years ago. This episode, we're going to start a trilogy, if you will, a three-part serial story of old world forbidden love among a princess and a warrior. Royalty and not. Kind of sounds like I ripped it from the headlines, doesn't it? But I wrote it a few years ago, and that story is sort of cool, too. I was commissioned by a gentleman to write a story, original works in the Middle Ages, and he wanted me to put his family and his peoples and his locations into it, and then he was going to give that as a gift to his wife for their anniversary. She loved it. He loved it. They gushed all over reviews and things like that. So I thought, well, that would be kind of cool. That'd be a great story to share with you. So it's a three-part series, a serial, if you will. It is Forbidden Love in the Middle Ages. And we will be getting to that in just a moment. I will be reading In My Words, coming up at the Desert Dog Cafe. This is going to be good. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Desert Dog Cafe. I am Lon, your host, and it is time for In My Words, stories that I have written myself, and I bring them to you here, and they are also available on the website You Should Know Before I Go. If you type that into the search bar, you'll find a bunch of stories, this one included. This week, we are talking about and reading a story of the Middle Ages, royalty and not, falling in love. Sounds like the headlines, doesn't it? This was written for a gentleman who wanted to buy an original story for his wife for their anniversary, and he wanted me to put in people he knew, put in places that they'd visited together, a descriptive, and when it was all handed over to both him and her, he loved it, she loved it. So I thought I'd share it with you today. We were not to love, but found each other in spite of it. That is today's In My Words, so let's get started. Arena dust settled, revealing the shimmering upper body of a tall warrior, awash in his blood and that of his adversaries. Slightly crouched, dual swords poised, breathing ragged from doing battle within ancient walls. The bodies of his attackers appeared from within the dissipating cloud, strewn in expanding circles around him as he turned within it. He had not been expected to survive this melee. In fact, there were many who lost hefty bets, now cursing aloud as they saw what lay before them and who stood alone in that victor's circle. It began as a low, hushed sound. It grew into a rhythmic chant. Abi, Abi, Abi. And in the center of the resonating tones, the heiress to the crown, the beautiful Princess Tori. He had heard her voice from across the courtyard. More than once had seen her smile and felt it melt his heart from afar. Well, now it carried his name to the world. Her father frowned from the royal box, but stood with purpose before his people, raised a robed arm, and in his baritone, Haskal Abi, officially announcing your victory. A sly smile played across the face of the Queen Patricia, mirrored by the princesses Tori and Stacy to his left, their eyes glowing. Even the heir, Princess Michael, revealed the slightest of smirks from across the balcony. He knew his father, and he knew the frown was a ruse. He quietly held a wish for further victories to that stoic warrior on the sandy arena floor. Huzzah! Huzzah! Rang the crowd, rolling around the venue. Huzzah! Haskal Abi, King Jesse pronounced. Indeed, huzzah! His countenance softening somewhat. You have shown your prowess. your diligence, your abilities, and your passion. Breath returned to the warrior's lungs. Though among the remains of a grisly scene, he returned the smiles of the many, but particularly focused on the softest face in the crowd, the one that held his heart gently in her hands from afar. It was as if the entire world dissipated at just her glance. The gaze they shared made everything else unimportant. Reality and the cacophony bursting around them tore the gaze away from each other. "You will join us at our table this night. We shall break bread together, and we will share the glow," King Jesse called out. Princess Tori almost held her excitement, almost. Her smirk was almost silent as well. Sinking the twin blades into sand and sawdust, Haskell stepped toward the royals. That action did not go unnoticed by archers among the top walls. Every other one notched an arrow to sinew, raised and trained them on the warrior in the one seamless move, as if one person. The paladin raised a hand. "I am grateful, my liege. I shall be honored to join you at the table this evening." He directed at his king, but he gazed at Princess Tori as he spoke. His heart was beating only for her. The rest of the world simply fell away when he saw her, and now in her glory of royal splendor, perfect hair, glowing, flowing gown, simply stunning, he whispered to himself, "I will be there with you, my love," hoping above hope that her beaming smile meant she felt exactly the same. Nearly as quickly as it erupted, the crowd went relatively silent and began dispersing. Those having lost coins from bets threw a bee glares as they climbed the stone stairs to street level and to their next gambling adventure. Haskell stepped over and around the remnants of his battle as lower-tier workers began dragging them away, leaving sangria lines in the sand. Fatigue began to roll over him as he dragged himself from the arena and into the bath area under the teeming streets. The smell of dust, death, and blood was replaced with humidity and heat. He sat on a stone slab bench, removed sandals, loincloth, and a leather thong that held back thick braids behind his ears. Puffed cheeks preceded an audible exhale. Reaching down to cup heated spring water from the pool before him, he drew it above his head, letting the warmth caress his skull and drip down his face. "Ah, this is going to feel so good." He stood, slowly walked down the steps, and immersed his weary body in the steaming bath. The sounds of water lapping at the edges echoed throughout the otherwise quiet room. Naturally heated mineral bath wrapped about him. He emerged, then rose. Rivulets ran down his body as he ran hands over skull, flattening his locks back to his head. Mind calmed, body soothing, thoughts returned to the vision of his desire. Eyes closed, he wallowed in images of her flowing within him as the healing waters drew aches from hardened muscles. He did not notice silent movement within the shadows, nor the eyes that were observing his form. A whisper caused a visible start. "He's quite a specimen, isn't he?" "Mother, what are you doing here?" Princess Tori blurted. The queen smirked and stroked her daughter's blushing face. "I could ask you the same, my dear." "Shh!" Latori gently tugged on the loose sleeve of her mother's gown toward the tunnel leading out of the bathrooms. The queen's smirk played across her face into a full-blown smile as they exited silently. Tori could not help but grin as they clung to the inner walls and crept towards the sunlight at the end of the corridor. Running a palm across rough-hewn stones that made up the walls, fairly dragging her mother with her. "Come on, mother," nervous that their pace was too slow or too noisy or both. She nearly pulled Patricia off her feet. "Easy, Tori, we'll get there." Now she smiled at the urgency of her eldest daughter. "Shh, mother." They burst into the arched opening and into eye-squinting sunshine in the courtyard. "Mother," Tori grinned. "Okay, first, how did you sneak up on me like that?" "I could have brought the hounds with me and you wouldn't have heard a word," Patricia offered as a toothy grin. "You were so absorbed soaking in that view. You paid no attention to what was around you, my smitten little girl." "I am not smitten," she said. "Your glow, your blush, your smile, they tell me differently, girl." The princess tried in vain to remove a nearly painful beaming smile. "Tell me, love, how do you intend to get the attention of this beautiful young man that you so desire?" "I have seen him from across the courtyards, one man in a crowd of them, but his spirit, his energies push away all others. I have nearly called out and beckoned him closer, save the constant presence of handmaidens and bodyguards that father so insists upon." Her smile drooped at the corners a bit, full lips for just a moment. I do not know how, mother. He is of lower descent than I, and yet it matters not. Were he of a royal court, I could simply request him to come to the throne room." Her mother softened, becoming the hen drawing her growing moppets under her wing. She wrapped an arm around her daughter lovingly and kissed her cheek. "Latori, you are a strong, intelligent woman, beautiful beyond words, and that is not simply a mother's thought." She grinned. "You will find a way. And if what I saw on this face, on his face in the arena, he is enamored of you as well, dear one." The princess became that shy little girl with the scrape on the knee from a tumble. She suddenly felt like looking at the ground and kicking dirt. I really do want to try and find a way." "I know you will, my girl. I know you will." In My Words, that is part one of a serial story, a trilogy, if you will. We were not to love, but we found a way anyway. That sounds familiar to many different people, and it's kind of torn from the headlines. But as I mentioned earlier, it was written as an anniversary present from a gentleman who wanted to commission a story, an original piece, using locations that his family knew about, using words and family names that were familiar to them, and he loved it, they all loved it, so I thought I'd share it with you right here on In My Words. So next week we will continue the story as Tori and her mother Patricia venture out into the courtyards that we read about and heard about just now. The story gets a little deeper and thicker, as you can imagine. In comes Haskalah B and the story of where he came from. His sidekick, who is a submissive underling, but not really. As I give you a little hint, that's coming up on the next episode, the next podcast of the Desert Dog Cafe. I'm Lon. Thank you for listening. You have heard so far Spotlight on Healing, Spotlight on Health. I bring you that every episode as well, and we'll continue that next week too. Coming up in just a second, things that make you say, "What?" This week, dang, that's a lot of rubber bands. That's coming up in just a moment at the Desert Dog Cafe. Well, that's almost it for this week, kids. We will be coming back next week with the second part of that tale on In My Words, so stay tuned for that. coming up in just a bit. Things that make you say, what? So don't you go anywhere. Whoa, 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 easy there. We're not done yet. We've still got things that make you say, what? Some cool trivia. That's just a second or two away. Or maybe 5 or 10, but you get the point. The Desert Dog Cafe, your new favorite podcast, I hope. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends, tell everybody, share it on Facebook, spread the word. I will make sure that on my end, I bring you new podcasts and kind of just what you heard today. We are rebuilding and repositioning and such from a land-based radio show to a podcast, so we appreciate your patience as we make that transition. Thank you very much. We will make sure that we continue to improve every show. So stick with us. Thank you very much. The Desert Dog Cafe. Time now for things that make you say, what? Did you know that in the 1980s, Pablo Escobar's Medellin drug cartel was spending $2,500 a month on rubber bands just to hold all their cash? What? Well, hey, that just about wraps up this week's of the Desert Dog Cafe. This week's edition, that is, of the Desert Dog Cafe. Thanks for joining me. My name is Lon. As always, I am your cage-free, all-natural host. I'm not sure that was the best choice, but they did it, so I'm doing it. Join me each episode for the Desert Dog Cafe. And if you like it, tell your friends. I mean, please tell everybody. We want to share this. It's good, positive feedback. It's good, positive fun and music, as well as original stories. That's what happens at the Desert Dog Cafe. So thanks for joining me. You can always message all of us at either anchor.fm. There's a messaging center there. Or you can send an email to leaddogonair@gmail.com. Any unintentional copyright things, please let us know. We're working with everybody to make sure we do this right. So you can fire off an email there as well. Tell your friends, tell everybody, tell them about the Desert Dog Cafe. And until next time, please make it a great day, play nice, and always listen when an old dog barks. For the Desert Dog Cafe, I'm Lon, and I'm out.